Good evening. Greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Men have always been very concerned about his life, and he eats very carefully, he drinks carefully. He will always try to live right because he is fearful of death. Death to him is very final, and so our fear have caused us to push our day of death as far away as possible so that we can live on in this world. And because of this understanding, we have taken very appropriate steps to keep our body as healthy as possible. And yet, because of this myopic focus, we fail to realize that the moment we begin to exist in our mother's womb, we will all never die. And if we were to emphasize correctly or focus correctly where we will go after death, rather than to simply look at death, physical death per se, perhaps because of this new perspective, we may then take a new steps, not the old, a new step to think all over again whether caring for our physical well-being is sufficient to make a change to where I will end up, where I will continue to exist after death. Those who have been lied to believe that there is such a thing called annihilation. We used to have someone who attended our church. That person has passed on. He left our church before he died. He tried to be a member of this church for a number of times, at least 3 times that I know of. And each time when he is asked the question, do you believe in the doctrine of annihilation, which means not hell, annihilation. When a person lives, he dies, he just simply disappeared. That means the soul or the spirit of a person could be destroyed. Then we told him, as long as you hold on to this doctrine, you cannot be a member because you cannot take the membership oath, which includes our doctrinal position with a clear conscience and with sincerity. And so we kept turning him down. Do you believe that the soul of a person can be destroyed? If you believe that, how would you destroy it? What would you use to destroy it? We know that everything that can be handled, taste, and touch with our hands can be destroyed. But the soul is invisible. The soul is like the spirit of angelic beings, like God who is spirit. You can't destroy your soul once you begin to exist. And that is the premise for the doctrine of the two resurrections. All of us will be resurrected. Whether you like it or not, that's the reality. Just as God did not have to ask you for permission to create you, to begin your life inside your mother's womb. And every human being, the moment you begin, you will continue to exist. The question is, in what manner will you exist? And that is the question that we would like to propose to you, to make a choice. Because based upon verse 25, the choice of your resurrection is still available. So verse 25 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, and that is Jesus, the hour is coming. What was Jesus referring to? And now is. So the hour is coming, and yet it is still present in his time. So is it coming? Or is it already present? So he mentioned both. It is coming, it's in the future, but it is also true right now, as he was speaking. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So was he referring to the resurrection? Or was he referring to some other event? He refers to Three things that you must take note of to help us answer that question. The hour is coming. That means hour means it's not too far away. It's not days. Days could be many, many days, even thousands of days, right? We are told that we are living in the last days. It's already 2,000 years. Because that was what Peter preached in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost. We are in the last days. But hour has always referred to a very short time. And so this, the hour is coming, definitely refers to the crucifixion of Christ. And then now is, he's referring to what he will do in the future, near future, referring to his resurrection, sorry, his first coming, where he will soon be crucified and die on the cross. And now is, in other words, salvation is available right now, just as it had always been available to all the Old Testament saints, where they will look forward to what Christ would do at Calvary. But the hour is coming, and when that day comes, when Jesus Christ physically, literally suffered and died on the cross for our sins, then all who live after the death and resurrection of Christ will have to look back to what Christ has done. And that is what Jesus meant. When the dead, that is the spiritually dead, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. In other words, while you and I are still alive, that's the only time where you can change from the resurrection of damnation to the resurrection of life. Because these two resurrections are clearly revealed to us by the Lord Jesus himself in verse 29. So you can make that change only when you are alive. That's why you have to have the right focus. If you keep focusing on your physical death, it is a wrong focus which will result in a wrong living. You should now focus on what will happen to you after you die physically, because your body will stop breathing, but you will continue to live on. When you keep focusing on your body, that will soon, all of us will die. This body is never designed to last forever, simply because it is made out of the dust of this ground. Change your focus, would you, tonight? Ask yourself, where will I go after I die? Which resurrection will be my resurrection? Will it be the resurrection of damnation or the resurrection of life? The decision you make tonight, it's going to make a difference. Because all of us are born in sin. All of us will die in sin if we do not take certain steps to make that change. You can choose right now to make that change. You do not need to experience the resurrection of damnation. What exactly is this resurrection of damnation, you may ask? Well, the Lord will reveal that to us in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to verse 15. He has revealed that to us. This is the resurrection of damnation. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. So this old heaven and old earth will simply vanish away, just as God created this heaven and earth out of nothing at the last final day of the millennial kingdom. He will now uncreate, as it were, cause it to disappear, just as he many thousands of years ago brought it into appearance. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And then the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. So you see, two judgments that was also mentioned by Christ in verse 29 of our passage. Verse 12 basically describe the judgment of those who experience the resurrection of life. Verse 13 describe those who are resurrected from hell, right? That's what it says. Death and hell delivered up the dead. So resurrection from damnation will be from hell. And every single human being, from the time of Adam right up to the last human being at the end of the millennium, will be standing before the Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment, and every single human being will be in the resurrected state. There will be one group, resurrection of life. There will be another group, resurrection of damnation. That's what it says. This is the final moment of man's existence, where there will be no more human beings being born at the end of the millennium. The last baby to be born at the end of the millennium will be the final human being. That's what it means. So that every human being that ever existed on earth, they will continue to live on because of the two resurrections. Notice that God did not say how the resurrection of life, where were they resurrected from? And that we will talk more about it from the next Sunset Gospel message to the end of this series. We will focus on 1 Corinthians 15, where God will devote a lot of details to help us. But for the resurrection of damnation, it was pretty straightforward. As you can see, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell deliver up the dead. So sea is always understood as a very mysterious place because they do not know what's underneath the ocean. And so this is used to describe hell. And since there will be no more human being born after the end of the millennium, death and hell, verse 14, will be cast into the lake of fire as well. This is known as the second death. No need to have death and hell, physical death. Man will live on. The resurrection of damnation, and they will be judged, every man according to their works. Bear this in mind. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. And so the destination of those who are resurrected from hell, known as the resurrection of damnation, will be cast into the lake of fire, where they will experience excruciating punishment and pain forever and ever without any relief. That's why do not ever end up in the resurrection of damnation in the lake of fire. That's how important the choice is tonight. That's what John 5, verse 25, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to realize and understand. You know the problem in the day of Jesus Christ when he was walking on earth? Was that they could not believe that this man was the Son of God. That is why in verse 25 the Lord says, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. He didn't use the phrase Son of Man. He used the phrase Son of God because they do not believe that he's the Son of God. When he told them that he's the Son of God, they wanted to kill him, actually. You see that in verse 18. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath by healing the man at the pool of Bethesda, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. That's why they wanted to kill him. They do not believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the word of the Son of God, which is the God Almighty himself. And as long as they reject Jesus Christ as the Son of God, there is no salvation for anyone, including anyone today. You have to believe that when the gospel that is offered to you, and the gospel message is very simple and clear and very, very direct. We are all born sinners. No one is born without sin except the Lord Jesus himself. And so for the Lord to come and save us, he must be exactly like us. And that's why he was born of the Virgin Mary, began to exist in the human form. Fully God, when he was in heaven, the moment he began to exist in Mary's womb, the Virgin Mary's womb, by the power of the Holy Spirit who came upon her, Jesus from now onwards unto eternity will remain fully God and fully man. Exactly like us, from birth to adulthood, Jesus experienced the entire process. In order to save us, he has to be exactly like us, but without sin. And he went through all of that to save us, because otherwise you and I will all experience the resurrection of damnation. You and I are not born neutral, where you sit on the fence, then you neither will experience resurrection of damnation or resurrection of life. That is not the reality. The reality is we are all conceived in sin, we are all born in sin, resurrection of damnation waits for us. We are all heading in that direction. Please know that. That is our present destiny if you do not make a conscious choice right now. That's what Jesus Christ in verse 25 was telling his audience, and he is now telling us tonight. And so Jesus Christ came. Everyone who sinned against God must die, must be punished. God's justice in Genesis 2. That's divine justice, not the devil's justice. That is God's justice. Everyone who sinned against God must die, and therefore all of us must die physically. And where will we go after we die physically? Damnation, resurrection of damnation to hell. And then to be resurrected at the end of the millennium, and then judged by God at the great white throne judgment, and find us guilty, sentence us to the lake of fire. That's our destiny. The Lord revealed that to us so that you and I can make a choice and make a change. Change your resurrection from damnation to life tonight. Because Jesus Christ came to suffer and die in your place. The punishment that's meant for us. Because of our sin against God. Jesus Christ said to you when he offers you the gospel, I came down from heaven. Whenever someone shares with you the gospel, it is Jesus himself who is now standing in front of you, offering it to you. I came and I suffered and I died for you so that you do not need to suffer and die for your own sin. And God the Father accepted what I've done for you because he raised me from the dead to let you know that it is enough. All the sins you have committed, no matter how heinous, no matter how horrible, all you need to do is to say yes with all sincerity. I truly, sincerely repent of my sin and accept Jesus Christ as my substitute who suffered and died in my place, O God. That's all you need to say to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God the Father, when the gospel is shared with you just as it is tonight. You have to believe that it is the Son of God who came down, who is now standing in front of you to offer you salvation. God, your Creator, the one that who created you and the one you sin against, he is now offering you salvation by coming to become the Son of Man to take your place and suffer in your place. Don't reject him. There is no sin that you could ever commit against God that is more heinous than to reject the love of Jesus Christ for you. When he sends someone to offer you the gospel, that is his word. That means Jesus himself is now telling you, believe in me with all your heart, and you will not have to experience a resurrection of damnation where you will end up in the lake of fire forever and ever of great unimaginable pain. Jesus does not want anyone to end up in that place. That's why they that hear shall live. That's tonight. Right now, the moment we die, it's over. Would you want to? And once you say you want to, verse 26 and 27, the one who can change you, your resurrection. You can't change it yourself. The one who can change it is the Lord Jesus himself. That's what verse 26 and verse 27 says. He will do it. For as the Father hath life in himself, now watch, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. God the Father, when he created Adam, shaped and molded him out of the dust of the earth and breathed into him the breath of life. Right? So there is life in God who can give life to Adam and to all of us. You and I never existed until we begin to exist. And when you begin to exist, there is life straight away. Inside your mother's womb, you are already alive. The moment you begin to exist, the moment you are conceived, you already have life. Not according to man's definition. Man's definition does not matter as far as God is concerned. His word is the only word that matters. His judgment, justice, is the only one that matters. And it must matter to you. Because on the day of judgment, you're going to face him. And his judgment and justice is all going to matter, whether you like it or not. The Lord wants us to know that. Because when he appears in the clouds of glory, he will judge each and every one of us. And he introduced himself on the day of judgment as, I'm Alpha and Omega. I will have the first word. That means I will set the judgment and I will have the last word. You can argue all you want, but I will have the last word, not you. And if I find you guilty, you are guilty. And I have the authority and the power. That's why he says, I am also the beginning and the ending. I'm the beginning of all authority and power, and I'm be the one who will be standing at the end of all authority and power, and every authority and power of man will be destroyed. That's how he introduced himself in the book of Revelation. When he revealed to us, when I appear in the clouds of heaven, every eye will see me, and every human being on earth will wail, beat their chest, and grieve and cry, because they have been offered salvation to get out of the resurrection of damnation, but they say, no, I don't want to. And now they're going to face the judgment, awaiting to be cast into the lake of fire ultimately, and that's why they're going to beat their chest and wail. Because the moment he appeared in the clouds of heaven, day of salvation is over, the day of judgment begins. The Lord reveal all this to us so that you and I will not end up in that state and condition. He didn't have to reveal all this to us. He can just simply keep everything secret and then just simply do it when the time comes. You and I will be in trouble. That's why he revealed to us our future, two futures, so that you can right now choose which future do you want. Which future? There is life in God the Father, and so he had given to the Son to have life in himself. Now God the Father, God the Son, they are equal in power, essence, and glory. Just as God the Father has life, so does God the Son. And yet, look at the next verse, and then you will understand what God meant when he says, I have given to the Son to have life in himself. He was not referring to the kind of life that God the Father demonstrated when he breathed into Adam the breath of life. This is another kind of life. This is upon verse 27. You watch. And have given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. You see the contrast in verse 25? The Son of God. To let us know that if you want to experience spiritual life right now because of your spiritual death, verse 25, when the dead, that spiritually dead, want to have life, spiritual life, you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, which the enemies of Christ wanted to kill him for that truth. But for Jesus Christ to have that kind of life, to give people like us, sinners who are spiritually dead, to give us the spiritual life, he has to be the Son of Man, where the emphasis, therefore, is on the cross. what Jesus Christ must do, which Jesus Christ spoke of, the hour is coming. I will have to suffer and die very soon in order for me to have this power, this life, to give spiritual life to spiritually dead people. God and God the Son, God the Father and God the Son cannot just simply use their power to just simply give life the way that they gave to Adam when he was created out of the dust of the ground. That kind of life is not the same as the spiritual life, because the spiritual life that Jesus Christ will be in, that's what God the Father says, right? To give to the Son to have life in himself. He must satisfy God's justice, and God's justice is every sinner must be punished for the sins they have committed against me, which means they must die. Unless Jesus Christ come and live and suffered and died in their place, then all who believe in Christ, he is the way, the truth, and the life, then they too will have spiritual life. That's why the Son of Man is used in verse 27, where the focus is on his crucifixion. That's the one who can change your resurrection from damnation to life. All you need is to believe sincerely with all your heart, unconditionally surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, silently in your heart, just pray to God the Father and tell him that, oh Lord, I repent of all my sins. I accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross for me with all my heart. Save me. Forgive me. I believe that he died and rose from the dead for my justification. Save me, O God. And the Lord Jesus Christ will hear, and he sees the sincerity, and he will save you to the uttermost and give you life, because in him is life, eternal life, spiritual life. And once you have made that sincere prayer, verse 28 and 29, the finality of the resurrection, choice to change your resurrection, verse 25. The one who has the power to change your resurrection, verse 26 and 27. And then the finality of the resurrection. Because if you do not want to make the choice to change, the resurrection of damnation awaits. If you make the change, the resurrection of life is your hope. Marvel not at this. So do not be shocked. Shocked at what? Marvel at, not at what? At what Jesus Christ revealed, that I am the Son of God. For the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. So now, the hour is coming in verse 25, is right here on earth, to those who are spiritually dead. Will you listen to the Son of God giving you the gospel? Because at the end of time, the hour is coming, and this time he will be speaking to people who are in the grave. You see the difference? Verse 25 is speaking to people who are on earth, not in the grave yet. They shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good, right? The judgment of works. Because you're already a child of God, you will be judged based upon the fruit of your salvation, the evidence of your salvation. Remember Revelation 20, verse 13, verse 12, we talk about that. One verse, your name written in the book of life, and then God will judge you. So the judgment of those resurrected unto life will come first. And your evidence of your salvation will be the good works that you do for Christ's sake. The good works are defined as those who are constrained with the motive of love for Christ, where you will do all things according to Scripture with the mind of Christ, seeking only to promote Christ in all that you say, in all that you do, where you want to glorify God only and not self. Those are the good works that the Lord say I will find in those who are my children, who have experienced the resurrection of life right now, so that you will experience the future resurrection of life, literal. Did the Bible not tell us, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you identify yourself with him, he substituted himself in your place and suffered and died for you, you are crucified with Christ. And when Christ rose from the dead, you're also now resurrected in Christ. That's why this is the spiritual resurrection, where you will now experience the life of a Christian who is truly born again, evidenced by a life of holiness, godliness and righteousness according to Holy Scriptures. And you'll be able to do a lot of good works, and the Lord will see them. And then the resurrection of life will be yours. And they that have done evil, you may call yourself a Christian, but the Lord says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that continue to do the will of my Father which is in heaven. So it's what you do that makes the clear distinction. Not what you say, not what you know in your head, not what you preach and talk about. It's what you do with your life in relation to people, in relation to God, that will make the world of difference, whether you're going to experience the resurrection of damnation or the resurrection of life. And their works will be called evil in the sight of God, because it is done by a sinner who has never experienced spiritual life on earth. And they are still spiritually dead. For your information, the word damnation is the same word that is used in verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Right? That is, believing that God the Father sent God the Son of God, to live, to suffer, and to die for you, that person will have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. And the word condemnation is the same word for damnation in verse 29. But is passed from death unto life. We are all born in sin. That means we're already in a state of condemnation or damnation. It's only in Christ Jesus can we be delivered from this present state of condemnation to experience spiritual life, so that at the end you will have the resurrection of life. But if you pretend, if you deceive your own soul, if you have believed in the wrong gospel, there'll be no change in your inner man. You will still be like the dog, where the nature will be that of a dog, going back to eat its own vomit, or like the swine that will be dressed up. You bait the swine, decked it with jewels and gems, and the moment you turn your head, the swine will go back to the filth and swim in the mud. Nature not change. If you are truly born again, you will never ever be the same again from within. You will think differently, you will behave differently, you will talk differently, and you will know it in your own heart. Don't deceive yourself. The gospel of the charismatics, Christianized carnality, there is no change. You are just as carnal before salvation, and you remain worse after your profession that you are now a Christian, because you Christianized carnality, you deceive yourself, and you have been deceived. Mixture of your salvation, and the evidence is absolutely clear. It's within you. You have experienced spiritual life if you truly know Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and the resurrection of life is your hopeful future. The Lord says so. The Son of God, believe that he is the one who offers you salvation and has the power to save you, because he's also the Son of Man who suffered and died for you. And if you truly, sincerely believe with all your heart, unconditionally, you will evidence it by your good works. And the Lord knows it now, and he will want you to know that he knows it on the day of judgment. Make a choice: resurrection of life or the resurrection of damnation. The moment you and I stop breathing, the final is already decided. It will be the resurrection of damnation. Please, do not reject the offer of the Son of God tonight to save you from your sin so that you do not need to experience the resurrection of damnation, but the resurrection of life eternal. You can know it right now in your own heart. Let us pray. Almighty God, our most merciful, loving Heavenly Father, may thy Holy Spirit speak to every heart tonight, that none of us will ignore the voice of thy Holy Spirit, who is speaking silently to all of us in our heart. Help us, O Lord, to truly know how much you love us. For while we were yet sinners, condemned, you sent thy only begotten Son to suffer and to die in our place. And you accepted all that he has accomplished for us because you raised him from the dead. And all sinners need to do is to simply believe with our heart that Jesus Christ truly suffered and died for me and rose from the dead for my justification so that I can stand before thee as a righteous person. O Lord, may thy Holy Spirit bring conviction to every heart, for truly salvation is of the Lord, O God, so that no one will walk out of this sanctuary without realizing in his heart of hearts that no longer will he experience the resurrection of damnation, but the resurrection of life awaits him. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.